If states like Oklahoma and Massachusetts are political still pond water, calmly and reliably Republican or Democratic from year to year, then the state of Colorado these days swirls with the political rapids of the legendary river that bears its name. Republican in every presidential race from 1964 and then Democratic in 1992 for Bill Clinton, voting for Barack Obama in both 2008 and 2012. Statewide offices in Colorado are unpredictable in this decade, and 2016 looks to place Colorado in every candidate's electoral strategy. Megan Verlee is a political reporter in Denver with Colorado Public Radio. Joins me right here. Megan, welcome.
Thank you, John.
It must be refreshing to be in a state where you can really predict what's going to happen either on the national stage or within the statewide offices or even locally.
Refreshing but exhausting. You can never take an election year off. There's always something hard fought.
And because the Colorado electoral vote, the size of it, makes it something of a swing state, it has to be in everybody's column depending on their strategy, are all politics national in Colorado?
I think a lot of politics are national. You definitely see that in our U.S. Senate races. They're not talking about Colorado-specific issues usually. They're talking about national issues. But there are a few things that are very local to Colorado that I think especially in this upcoming presidential election are going to weigh heavily. One is that we're one of the marijuana legalization states, and the next president will have a huge impact on the future of what is a growing industry here, to pardon the pun. Another is that we're a large public land state, and so administrative attitudes towards energy development, towards public lands policy, weighs heavily on the minds of Coloradans.
Morally, it seems as though there's a certain flexibility in Colorado. I can't quite place it, but same-sex marriage came down to a lot of controversy here. Marijuana seemed to be like, oh, yeah, right, sure. What's going on with that?
There is a somewhat fabled libertarian streak in Colorado that I think is talked about sometimes more than it is actually seen. But we do have a slightly larger libertarian registration and voting population here. And on social issues, often, yes, the state will go a little further left, even than its elected officials. The elected officials were not thrilled to see legal marijuana, most of them. Similarly, gay marriage, which took longer to get here than a lot of other states, it kind of arrived without a lot of public hullabaloo. And on issues even like abortion, which can be very hot button, this is a state that has not passed any significant abortion restrictions in quite a while. So, yes, often the social issues tend to go a little bluer than the elected offices.
Colorado Springs was once a national focus of conservative ideology, and to a certain extent it still is. But within the state, is it more marginalized or is it a competitor, a real power confronting Denver and its urban liberalism?
What you see when you look at the map of Colorado is that you have a real red center, as you mentioned, down in Colorado Springs that actually stretches up through this growing suburban belt right to the south suburbs of Denver, and then encompasses a lot of the rural areas. We have there's a lot of Colorado that people think is in Kansas, big flat plains, not a lot of people, but very red. We have a growing energy region in the northeast that's very red and out on the western slope. But then you have Denver, very, very, very blue, and that continues in the northern suburbs all the way up to Fort Collins towards Wyoming. Really where elections get fought is on turnout from those two bases. How enthusiastic can you get your ground troops? And then a few swing suburbs on the west side of Denver and the east side of Denver where maybe there are just enough persuadable votes that you can tip things one way or the other.
I have a lot of friends here. I've spent a lot of time reading about Colorado. I look at the electoral results every year. And, you know, I come from Ohio. Ohio is a divided state, very divided. Everybody knows in what camp they're in and what camp they're not in. Colorado does not seem, even though you describe these different, you know, sort of red and blue places, does not feel divided.
I think in a large way, especially at the state level in Colorado politics, I've noticed a discomfort with too much overt partisanship. Our governor, John Hickenlooper, has really striven to be seen as nonpartisan as possible, although after 6 years, that's definitely something that I'm sure Republicans would disagree with at this point. But there is at least at the state level, a desire to be seen as working together. I think Coloradans have very little patience for purely political gridlock.
So does that mean that this state can produce leadership quality that can cross that partisan divide that translates nationally. Tell me some characters, and I don't know if Hickenlooper is one of them, but tell me about some characters in Colorado who represent this ability to personally bring the sides together.
Well, certainly. I cover our state capital, and through the recession, we were one of those states that did not break down around the budget. They got a budget passed each year, whether it was all one party in charge or split chambers. Our Senator Michael Bennett, U.S. Senator Michael Bennett, a Democrat, has been part of some of the bipartisan working groups.
Although he's got a tough re-election.
He does. It's going to really come down to who the Republicans can nominate. And we saw that in our last election. Our Democratic Senator Mark Udall was unseated by a Republican Congressman, Cory Gardner. Gardner was a very, very strong candidate. And if the party can put up another very strong candidate against Bennett, he'll have another tough run.
Well, it's going to be very, very interesting to see. Any predictions on what will happen in 2016?
Absolutely none.
Absolutely none. A very smart Megan Verlee, political reporter for Colorado Public Radio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.